From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome once again to a broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Our speaker is Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues his series of studies in the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. In the current message, he's dealing with the inspiration of the Bible. The text is Ephesians 6:17b, and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. According to both the Old and the New Testaments, the Holy Spirit is the author of the Bible. Dr. Cairns has been showing that the existence of the sword of the Spirit is divine. Because of that, the excellencies of the Bible surpass those of any literature created by human hands. No other book can claim the unity found among the Bible's 66 books. It is entirely without error. None can match the majesty of its message, nor the infallibility of its prophecies. Before coming to the message, Dr. Cairns answers the question, Why is Christ called the Everlasting Father? This is an excerpt from Q&A with Alan Cairns, found in video format on our website, ltbsradio.com.
Why is Christ, or the Son of God, referred to as the Everlasting Father in Isaiah 9, verse 6? Well, get it in context. This is a word from Jehovah, and He is saying, Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Now, why is He called the Everlasting Father? Is He both the Son and the Father? Well, the answer here is really quite simple. First of all, Isaiah 9 verse 6 is not describing in any way the relation of the persons of the Trinity to each other. In the Trinity, the Son is not the Father. So why is He called the Father of Eternity, or the Everlasting Father? This is what is called a Hebraism. In other words, it is Hebrew idiom. And you've got to understand, when you're talking about idiom, you take the phrase together for the meaning as if it were the meaning of a single word. And this simply means the Eternal One. It's saying, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And His name is the Eternal One. In other words, this is another emphasis upon the fact that He is truly the Eternal God. The Father of Eternity means, as a Hebraism, that He is eternal. It means no more than that. It's not a Trinitarian description of Him in relation to the Father or the Spirit. It is simply saying He has the attribute of absolute eternity. And since He has that, and the New Testament tells us that God only has immortality or eternity, God only, and no one else is eternal, then this child born, this son given, is truly the Eternal God. That's what it means.
Worship the King. Worship the King. Come, let us worship Him.
Oh,
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. The response to these broadcasts has been most encouraging. Your words of appreciation and support mean a great deal to us as we seek to proclaim the unsearchable riches of Christ. From time to time, we're able to offer various of our publications to those who request them. We're pleased to announce that the newest edition of Let the Bible Speak Quarterly Magazine is now available. The principal focus of this issue is the Great Revival, which took place in Ulster in 1859, a moving of God's Holy Spirit which saw literally thousands of people swept into the kingdom of God. Five of our Free Presbyterian ministers will deal with various aspects of the revival. Also, this issue contains another in a series of articles about the founding fathers of the Free Presbyterian Church. In this issue, you'll read about the life and ministry of the Reverend John Wiley. You may have a free copy of the magazine simply by asking for it. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy the program, you may like to visit our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget the word radio, ltbsradio.com. In this connection, we'd like to call your attention to a series of video features on the website. In these video clips, Dr. Cairns answers questions from both believers and non-believers regarding various issues, such as, why did Christ have to be baptized? How do we know the Bible is the Word of God? And what is the greatest need of the church today? These video portions are listed under Q&A with Alan Cairns. You're sure to find these presentations to be informative and enlightening. Q&A with Alan Cairns is found on ltbsradio.com.
excellencies of the book of God. You take the unity of this book. I've said that it was written over a period of 1.5 millennia. You think of that. Just imagine that we had a book just coming to completion today that started to be written in the days of Augustine, around the 4th and 5th century. Now you just think that we had a book coming to completion and it was written by 40 different human authors. Tell me, what kind of a book do you think you would have? I challenge you to get any book on even one subject. Take physics. I challenge you to get a book compiled of the writings of 40 different physicists over the last 100 years. And I guarantee that at the end of it, you'll end up with a book that is tearing itself asunder, where one part is mocking the other and contradicting the other. There will be no unity in that book. Now let's select something more difficult. I challenge you to get a book and compile it on the subject of religion from 40 different human authors. And I ask you to select them as carefully as you will, even out of the most narrow theological confines. And I guarantee at the end of it, they'd be contradicting each other, and the book will be marked by utter divisiveness. Whereas here is the book of God. As I say, its penning spans 1,500 years. With writers as diverse as the mind of man can conceive. And yet it's not 66 different books. It's one book. One book of God. What a unity there is. Without error. Yes, I believe that. Without error. I don't have all the answers to all the difficulties. I'll have a go at answering them, but no man has all the answers. There are perplexities in the Bible, but there are no errors. I get sick, sore, and tired listening and reading to all the same old tripe that so-called intellectual people turn out attacking the Bible. And they just put it out as if it's proved. For instance, we're told that David paid Ornan or Ornan, according to which version of his name you want to take. He paid him one sum of money, and then the parallel passage says he paid him another sum of money. So the Bible contradicts itself. Rubbish. In the one part, we're told that he paid him a certain sum of money for a very restricted, specific location where the angel came down and where he wanted to build the altar. But there was a greater transaction where to get that he decided to buy the whole place. It would be like me saying, I paid $1,000 for that barn, but I paid $50,000 for the farm. Tell me that's a contradiction? No, sir. I'm told that Stephen contradicted the Old Testament when it came to the burying places of the patriarchs. I'm not going to take time to go into all those answers. But I simply say this, if people would read the Bible, they would find out that the Bible does not make errors. No contradictions, no errors. One book. And that's a miracle. And there's no way you can explain that on the basis that this is anything other than the Word of God, what it claims to be. You take the majesty of its message. The Bible is absolutely unique in its doctrine. The mind of man has never anywhere else conceived the doctrine of the Trinity. Do you know what the early Christians were called in ancient Rome? What the Romans and the Greeks called them? Do you know why they were put to death? Because they were called atheists. That's what the early Christians were called.
Atheists.
Why? Because they believed in a God who couldn't be seen. He couldn't be fashioned. He couldn't take his place in the pantheon. Oh, the Romans wouldn't have been one bit averse to having one more God. They'd have been very happy to have another God to add to the list. But you see, these Christians, they were atheists. They refused all these other gods. They worshipped a God who couldn't be seen. Now, that was against the entire consensus of human philosophy and learning. It certainly didn't come from man, it came from God. And then you take the revelation of Christ. Let me give you what the experts say. I'm not an expert in this, but Dr. Barrett were here, he could give you all the ins and outs of the verbal proof of this. If he wants to come, I'd be happy to let him do that. Greek scholars tell us that John didn't write very good Greek. In fact, they tell us the book of the Revelation is just about, well, I don't know what grade you would say over here. Over in Britain, they said it was like fifth form Greek. Well, I want to tell you, fifth form Greek was double Dutch. Because when you were in fifth form in grammar school over there, sometimes you were right, 90% of the times you're likely to be wrong. But anyway, it's very poor Greek. So they say. Of course, there's a lot of pride in that. It's the Greek the Holy Ghost used, and therefore for me it's perfect. Not only that, this man who couldn't write Greek, so they say he actually, after a period of 60 or 70 years, sat down and he began to put together the sayings of Jesus. And rather than writing down what Jesus said, he actually made up a picture of a Jesus who had never existed. And conversations that had never taken place. And having done all this, he put it all down there. Now let me get this to you. The greatest literary geniuses the world has ever seen have tried to depict the perfect man, and they have always depicted a monster. They have never been able to do it. And yet we are asked to believe, here is a Galilean fisherman who can't even write Greek. Here's a Galilean fisherman, and he's making up the whole thing. And yet in the Gospel of John, as well as in the book of the Revelation, you have a revelation of Jesus Christ as the perfect God and the perfect man, without spot, without failure. Something that has defied the greatest brains in the world. And we're asked to believe this is the product of an ignorant man. I want to tell you, you can't do justice to the Bible without accepting that it is the inspired word of God. Now, John was no genius. I don't believe John was a genius. I believe that what he wrote was inspired of God and went far greater than genius. You know, the whole Bible centers on Jesus Christ. Revelation 19 and 10 says that the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. You could actually turn that around and say the spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus. The spirit of prophecy, the spirit that's in the prophets, testifies of Jesus. This is the majesty of the message. Christ in all his perfection. And I want to tell you, when you come to the Bible, you come to that message. There's only one way that you can explain it, that is that it's the very message of God. You take the accuracy of the statements of the Bible. The Bible has been held up to ridicule on history. The Bible is never wrong. Never wrong. I read an interesting thing recently. I had to laugh at it, mind you, the condescension that was dripping like syrup from the mouths of these people as they were saying. It was actually in the Greenville Piedmont, or the Greenville News, they carried this. Scholars are now learning to pay a lot more attention, would you believe it, to the historical statements of the Bible. Because they had dug up some things out in Israel, and lo and behold, the Bible had been right all along. Big deal. I want to tell you, archaeology is a wonderful science, and every time the spade has dug into Middle Eastern soil, where it touches the Bible, it has always shown the Bible to be right. Archaeology can't prove the Bible. The Bible proves itself. I don't believe the Bible because of what the archaeologist says. I believe what the archaeologist says if it agrees with the Bible. It's as simple as that. The Bible's always right. You know, there was a time when the Bible spoke of Sargon. All the historical scholars said, this is myth, there never was such a person as Sargon. Now they've found out there was. We were told that there never was such a person as Belshazzar. That was another biblical invention. Now they found out that the Bible was right all along. In fact, there's some of the ancient peoples that the Bible mentions, like the Hittites. And for quite a long time we were told those people never even existed. Now they found out that they did exist. And they have dug up from Mother Earth all the evidence that any man could need as to how they lived and what they did. The Bible's right all along. The Bible's right in history. It's right in chronology. Yes, it's right in science. That's not a teacher of science. But I want to tell you, the physics of Genesis chapter 1 and Genesis chapter 2 and Genesis chapter 3 and then Genesis chapter 6, 7 and 8. Those physics are the basis of all proper study into the physical sciences, and anybody who disagrees will never come to the knowledge of the truth. The Bible's right when it speaks in science. The accuracy of its statements, the infallibility of its prophecies regarding Israel, regarding Christ, regarding the nations, regarding the end time. You know, in the last century, there was a saying that the Jews were God's clock. And when preachers preached about the Jews regaining their own land and doing so in unbelief, only a mad preacher would say that. They were mocked. They were laughed at. I want to tell you, in 1948, the Jews became the possessors of their own land. And they did so in unbelief. There's no more atheistic nation under the sun than the Jewish people today. They are there. Well, the army is gathering together, as Ezekiel 37 so graphically puts it. Bone is being joined to bone. There is the formation, as it were, of a great army of men. But the breath of God is not in them yet. Oh yes, the prophecies are infallible.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at faithfpc@freepres.org. That's faithfpc@freepres.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.freepres.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free, 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us once again as we let the Bible speak.